Gee, I can't wait till I go to hikes. Well,
don't you say that. Don't you ever say that. Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
Jennifer, why don't you try reading out loud for a minute, okay?
You gotta cherish it. You do.
Party over. Oops. Out of time.
I see what you're doing here. That's that song that Prince did.
Yes. Bat Dance.
89 Batman. Woof.
What was your favorite part of that movie? You got a favorite part.
I don't think that I have a favorite part. Is it Bob the Goon? 89 Batman? Nor do I.
Is anything Joker's specific coming to mind when I think about it? Long gun that he pulls out of his pants.
Obnoxiously long gun he pulls out of his pants is pretty fun.
Yeah, he shoots down the Batwing with it.
I think I just like the blocking of the date scene where his Bruce Wayne's table's too long and it makes for an awkward date, and Michael Keaton's all like, "I don't know how to talk to other human beings."
Yeah.
You get that sense that like, oh hey. Batman's superpower is Asperger's,
right?
Which doesn't really get explored enough in those other movies, I don't think. Yeah. Keaton was really tapping into that.
You know who else didn't get explored enough in that first movie? Robert Wool.
Robert Wool, too much screen time from what I remember.
Oh, wow.
That character, far too much screen time for no reason.
And you know what would be that good in that role?
Uh-huh.
Chong.
Arliss.
Oh, it is the Baby Oil and Blow show,
mm-hmm.
where we educate you on all things Arliss and Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's an action extravaganza with your usual hosts.
There's a lot of action in a typical episode of Arliss, I would imagine.
As it's been explained to me by no one.
Seen one, but
right.
I imagine there probably being some action sequences.
One Fine Day. Wasn't that? I think that's the theme song.
Was a mighty man. He washed his face in a frying pan, combed his hair with a wagon wheel, and he died of a toothache on his heel. So get out the way for old Dan Tucker, get out the way for old Dan Tucker, get out the way for old Dan Tucker, he's too late to come to supper.
Either way, we're your hosts.
Ooh, I know.
Matt O.
Mm-hmm.
With
that's
me.
You.
As always,
mm-hmm.
he is the Chris O'Donnell to my George Clooney.
Yeah.
He is Nate Adams. See, I went Schumacher on you now.
Hoi, hoi, everybody.
Just run the gamut.
Gotta say, if there's anything to make that 1989 Tim Burton Batman movie look good, it's sitting it right next to one of those Joel Schumacher Batman movies, because...
Why'd that guy think
those things are terrible.
Why'd that guy think that people wanted, like, a... movie version of the 60s television show?
I don't know. I think there was just some weird disconnect in the 1990s where they kept trying to make superhero movies, but instead of just like making them like the superhero stories that everyone loves in comic books, they were like, we're gonna do something different with it.
Yeah.
And it failed every time.
Huh.
There was a good like 15 years there where they just failed and failed and failed making corny superhero movies. And finally somebody was like, let's just start making them like they do in the comic books. Those sort of stories. And now they make like a billion dollars every 6 months.
They did such a bad job that people respected that Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy.
Oh, yeah. That... made a lot of money at the time. Yeah. Looking back, those are pretty terrible.
Yeah, I was calling it at the time.
The second one's good.
Alfred Molina carries it.
But man, Tobey Maguire, who wanted that greasy, ugly turd to be a superhero?
He's in the Pussy Posse, Nate.
Some of the worst casting. Oh, Pussy Posse member Tobey Maguire? I didn't know that. We got another one of them in the movie we're talking about today. There's a lot of Pussy Posse.
Oh, all things Pussy Posse. Yeah.
Things getting built into this episode. Yeah. Starting to really come together.
Supposedly Harmony Korine was in it as well.
I could see that. Yeah. around that time when he was rifling through people's purses on the David Letterman show. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Could see him and Leo hanging out.
Doing drugs.
Doing lots of
drugs. Talking shit about Meryl Streep.
I understand, Leonardo DiCaprio still is able to exist as a movie star and one of the few legit movie stars that exists in Hollywood, living a movie star lifestyle, because he makes every woman he sleeps with sign a very strict NDA before anything goes down. Like, he's got legit lawyers following him around, just having all the whores he bangs just signing up papers.
It's gotta be weird things that they're like...
This is a story I've heard enough places where I'm like, I think this is probably true.
I've also heard that.
This is an interesting life. That guy's got it figured out. He's got something figured out.
We're not here to talk pussy posse and lawyers. We're here to talk about a lawless society different member of the pussy posse. Mm-hmm. We got a film. It's our back to
rundown
school.
This week is brought to us by character actor Wings Hauser, who I just saw in an episode of Magnum P.I. before we started recording this. Very convincingly playing an insane Vietnam vet who's living out in the woods, just hallucinating.
I mean, who are you playing, Wings?
Great work. Not in the actual show Wings, but that show was about his life.
Okay, loosely based.
Wings Hauser, check him out as Ramrod, the murderous pimp in a Vice Squad. Great little film.
Fade into black, the streets come alive. That big city monster just opened his eyes. The hustle, the muscle, the chrome and the steel. Got what I want, baby, let's make that. You see, I'm the survivor, and I know how it feels to be part of the nighttime where everything is real. The music, the violence, the sex, the sweet smell. I'm a stone cold believer in the pleasures of hell. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, feeling just fine. Been baptized in the river of the neon slime.
But the rundown is of 1990's Class of 1999.
That's confusing.
The movie's called Class of 1999. It's from the year 1990. Follow me here. The runtime is 99 minutes. We got a lot of nines going
on
here.
That's ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, until we start talking money, then there's no nines at all. Because this budget, it cost a cool $5.2 million.
Which was...
It only grossed $2.4 million. So, Class of 1999... Not a big success for director Mark L. Lester, whose
other credits
is Class of 1984.
Yeah.
Much more respected.
Huh.
Which I think is stupid, because that movie's boring.
Boring. Put some whiskey down your throat. Burn that out, friend. That's the only way to live.
I don't know what that is. That's new. That hasn't been happening today.
Yeah.
Mark L. Lester, Showdown in Little Tokyo. We already talked about one of his movies.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. We enjoyed his work.
Absolutely.
Commando. We'll be talking about that someday, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Goes without saying. The stars of Class of 1999.
No one?
No. There's,
you, the viewer?
Chocked full of actors here.
Oh, my mistake.
Number one, we got to talk Bradley Gregg, who's playing Cody, who's the lead. He's the head teenager.
Also the lead in such famous films as... okay, that's all of them. Yeah, we did it.
He's kind of a low-rent Corey Feldman. The whole time I'm watching this, I'm just thinking to myself, like, this should be Corey Feldman.
He's like, it's Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover at times.
I can see a little bit of that, yeah.
And, like, if you could find
Crispin
a way...
Crispin Glover's character from, like, River's Edge a little bit, yeah.
If you could mix the two of them together... Make a more legitimate lead actor, and then make him way more boring and not as cool.
You get a Bradley Gregg, who you might recognize as the guy who got turned into a puppet by Freddy in Dream Warriors. I think
there
you
go.
That's probably going to be the highlight of his career. Tracy Lind is playing Chrissy, who's old Cody's love interest here. She's the new girl in town. Her dad's the new principal of the high school. She's kind of like a low-rent Topanga, I thought.
That's
fair. The whole time I was like, this is... Probably should have just got Topanga to be in this.
She's the hot chick in Fright Night 2.
Fright Night Part 2, that's right. Yeah, a criminally underseen film.
That's a really good movie.
For some reason, can't seem to get a good copy of that put out.
Uncle Rico is a werewolf
or something. Yeah,
good stuff.
Malcolm McDowell's playing her dad, the new principal. He, of course, was Alex in Clockwork Orange. So he's taking a big step up here, being in class of 1999 from, you know, working with Kubrick.
Never heard of him.
The aforementioned member of the Pussy Posse, Joshua John Miller, is playing Angel, the little brother in this movie. He plays the creepy little brother in fucking everything from this era. River's Edge, which we also mentioned. Near Dark.
Yep.
Teen Witch. He's the lispy, weird, little, lumpy-bodied brother in many strange movies.
He should have been in every movie in the 80s.
He takes it up another level whenever he shows up.
You think you're hot stuff because you went to a dance. Dreamer, nobody wants to date you because you're a dog. A dog! A dog!
Hey, I feel funny.
Can't stand up.
You are standing up.
I'm a dog. Louise, what'd you do to me?
Nothing.
You.
Nothing I can't fix. It was just a mistake. I can fix it.
Look at me! Oh my, look at all this hair on me! I even smell like a dog. Oh, Louise.
Richie,
I gotta get out of here. Help!
Richie, I promise I can fix it. Just...
It's Mom! She hates dogs.
Hey,
she'll take me off to the pound. Louise, we gotta do something.
Ooh,
what are you gonna do?
I've got an idea.
A bath? This is your great idea.
You don't wanna go to the pound, do you?
Let me go.
They kill dogs at the pound.
What are you doing?
I definitely promise to fix this just as soon as my friend gets back.
I hate that.
Richie.
Water, no.
Stacy Keach is playing Dr. Bob. He's the guy behind the killer robot program that this movie's about.
He's the one that looks like a real queer-looking Stacy Keach.
Stacy Keach is killing it in this movie. I will have nothing negative said about him. This is probably the highlight of his career.
That's fair.
Pam Grier, John P. Ryan, and Patrick Kilpatrick are playing the killer robot teachers. Patrick Kilpatrick, I think, is my favorite name I've ever heard.
That's dynamite
fucking
stuff.
Cool as hell. Pam Grier, you know, Foxy Brown, she's been in a lot of things. John P.
Ryan. She did all those weird Filipino whore movies.
Never heard of John P. Ryan, but I gotta say, he might be the MVP of this fucking movie. He's great.
Is he the old man?
Yeah, he's the old man, killer robot.
He kills it in this.
Whole bunch of taglines for this movie. I pulled a couple out here. The ultimate teaching machine, out of control. That's what made the poster. That's barely even a sentence. That doesn't even make any...
No,
another
I don't follow.
Better one, I think. Staying after school can be deadly.
Okay.
This is both like a thing that happens in this movie, and it's just like, hey, don't stay after school. That's a lame thing that dorks do.
Dorks, yeah.
That bell rings, you run out of there.
Unless you got detention.
You hate school. Probably have detention. Plot synopsis here. The time is in the future, and the youth gang violence is so high that the areas around some schools have become free fire zones, into which not even the police will venture. When Miles Langford, the head of Kennedy High School, decides to take his school back from the gangs, robotic specialist Dr. Robert Forrest provides tactical education units. These are amazingly human-like androids that have been programmed to teach and are supplied with devastatingly effective solutions to discipline problems. So when the violent, out-of-control students of Kennedy High report for class tomorrow, they're going to get a real education in staying alive. Because they're killer robots, man.
Stay alive.
Killer robots. This is what this movie's about.
Killer robots and a killer flick with a killer... story idea, you know?
Okay, let's not get into spoilers. You just throwing out your rating already. We haven't even gotten into bullet points.
That's fair.
Let's dig into our notes and talk about all the great shit that was coming our way via Class of 1999 from 1990. The gift of Mark L. Lester.
They did the cool robot voice. Let me get you up to speed here at the beginning of the
movie. That's right, yeah.
I liked it.
The narration, the year is 1999. I saw this movie when I was, you know, opening weekend in 1990. I was a good 9 years old, and like, I am of the class of 1999.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you are.
So, like, it really struck me as being cool first off. I was just like, this is what fucking school's gonna be like when I graduate. This is so much cooler than school now. 1999 is gonna be a crazy year.
Oh, am I gonna be a Razorhead or a Blackheart? I don't know.
Yeah, but turns out they got it a little bit wrong because society didn't collapse until after 1999 when Y2K happened.
Yeah.
They had it a little bit early here.
They jumped the gun ever so slightly.
Yeah, but they let us know, just like, the world has gone to hell. Teenage gangs have taken it over. It's chaos out there.
I never saw this movie before. This was a first screen for me.
Childhood and favorite of mine.
Even in my...
Rented that VHS a number of times.
Yeah, I can remember seeing it at the old family video, or maybe even that could have been R&R days back then.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had R&R video.
That sounds like a real sleazy place. They have one of those porn rooms?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nothing better than a classic 80s video store porn room. It's like with the beaded curtain usually separating that room for the rest of it. You'd be looking like, can I catch a glimpse of a boob if I walk past this door slowly enough?
So seeing this for the first time as an adult in my mid to late 30s.
Adultish.
That, on paper.
Yeah.
That intro
mm-hmm.
with the little computer voiceover mm-hmm. talking about stuff.
Map of the world.
That was a legit opening, man.
Yeah, sets the mood.
I was like, this sounds terrifying.
I am already afraid of these teenagers.
Yeah, it really, you know, resonated in me. And then they open it up in a jail, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I know that life too, man.
That's right. So it starts off here. Our main character, Cody, is being released from prison, and we learn through all this narration that he's sort of like a super, like, troubled youth in a gang. But he's being released from prison because they got these new killer robot teachers in the high schools. And they're like, let out all the worst kids out of the prisons, put them in the school with the killer robots, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
This is a weird plan.
I think it's the story.
It's a weird plan, but it makes for a fun movie.
Either way, he gets out of jail, and Sonny and his brother,
Angel
from the Pussy Posse,
mm-hmm.
they're there to pick him up.
This is where you figure out that everybody's got fucking tricked out Mad Max cars in 1999, which is cool as hell.
And it's cool because they waste no time. They're like, well, let's just go to what we think future world looks like when teen mm-hmm. gangs mm-hmm. run the world. And it's just, they drive through Gary, essentially.
Yeah, it seems to be like the trashiest neighborhood in Seattle, probably. Yeah. They've fixed it up with a lot of like burnt out cars and dumpster fires and stuff. A lot of extras rolling around.
From what I read, that was just legitimately like an abandoned town.
Man, they...
Where they were allowed to just kind of do whatever they wanted.
There's a lot of mud going on. Like, there's no concrete. Wherever this is, like, the streets are just made out of mud.
Right.
I don't like hearing that it was a real place. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, so they establish quickly that our boys, our three main characters here, are in the Blackheart gang.
Mm-hmm. Cool name for a gang. Much better than the whatever destruction shit we got last week in The Substitute.
Yes, no, but this gang looks like it's headed by Robert Smith and mm-hmm. Ducky.
Yeah, they're the emo group, clearly, the Blackhearts.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
They all got Blackhearts tattooed on their faces. It's a good excuse to get a face tattoo.
Just
join
tiny
gang, I think.
Ones.
I've been looking for a real excuse to get a face tattoo.
That's fair. They run afoul of the Razorheads.
Is that the name of the other gang? I never really paid close enough
attention. The Heads, for short.
Yeah, but they don't really run afoul of them so much as they like Cody just drives into like their turf.
Yeah.
And Angel and Sonny are like, what are you doing? Let's get out of here.
We're not supposed to be here.
And I'm kind of like, what is he doing? It's never really explained.
He's letting him know he's back.
Yeah.
Because he gets into it with main guy Hector.
But his character, as we'll see here, is like one of like somebody who's been kind of rehabilitated.
Yeah.
And he's not looking for trouble anymore. And I'm like, well, then why did he just go looking for trouble the first fucking thing as soon as he gets out of the jail? Because it leads to a cool chase sequence where there's a lot of machine gun fire and like grenades getting thrown and cars getting flipped and stuff.
And it's our first instance of it, so we should acknowledge it because it's a theme that happens in this movie a lot here, Nate.
What's that?
Things don't really make sense.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool when you got a bunch of Mad Max cars driving around and bombed out Gary, Indiana looking town, and all the kids are wearing some straight up just choice fashion. One of the first bullet points I've got here is just the fashion of this movie is so cool. These gang members wear the weirdest mix of like leather and like flamboyant workout clothes, and then like jewelry made out of like car parts and computer chips and stuff. And I wish this is what fashion was like right now. I wish this is what was cool out there.
Again, the
young people were dressed like this, it'd be great.
The Razorheads have a much more like leathery Mad Max post-apocalyptic soldier look about them.
Everybody's driving weird tank cars and it's so cool.
And again, the Blackhearts, it's three parts. It's one part Robert Smith, one part Ducky, another part Boy George. And you know, to each their own. But yeah, it's a thing that keeps happening in this movie where things just happen in spite of what our story might have explained to us, just to get something else to happen.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's fine right here. You get a little car chase, you get a little destruction. A car gets flipped and you're like, well, they killed the leader of that gang already.
That's right.
He's like, nah, I'm good.
Crazy morning. Yeah. School hasn't even started yet.
And the worst part is before he attempts murder on this guy after we're getting right out of jail, he's like, see you at school. You probably shouldn't have told him where you're going.
Which is, one of the like the most glaring makes no sense things about this movie, I think, is that society has degenerated so far to the point where these kids are just living in these lawless zones where you can basically just purge, murder anybody you want, do whatever you want. But they're still all showing up to high school.
Yeah. Like,
why are they showing up to high school? What's the point?
Well,
they're looking to get those GEDs and move on to what? We're in a post-apocalyptic wasteland here.
Well, Cody, they point out at the beginning when he's getting out of jail.
Yeah, there's a reason he has to go. It's either like
it's part of his probation.
Fucking show up to
school
tomorrow.
He's got a tracker.
Yeah, like fucking you're done for, buddy.
Which doesn't
disappear into the system.
He's got a tracker,
and he's never tracked.
They know if he's at school, even
at any point throughout the movie, is he ever tracked?
Yeah, glaring.
Nor is there anybody who seems to be keeping tabs on him, or even wondering if he showed up or not.
So he gets to school.
But that's mostly because the person in charge is a madman, Stacy Keach.
Yeah.
He's got no real plans. He's just a madman.
Yeah, he's made these teachers, these robot teachers, and he's like, here we go. We're going to put him at the school. It's going to be a dry run.
Listen.
It's going to be great.
I know it sounds crazy, but I've got a bright white rat tail mullet, and I'm wearing some like white out contact lenses, so I don't have any pupils.
He was supposed to be albino.
Then why is his mustache brown?
Right.
Like, he looks fucking insane, and it's never explained. I love it. Why does Stacy Keach look so fucking crazy in this movie?
Has he never seen the hot chicken Gummo? Like, albinos are supposed to have red eyes, Stacy Keach, not white eyes.
Yeah.
And black mustaches. So they get to the school, and the old gang's like, hey, Cody, you in or you out? You know, like, you're part of our gang. And he's like, I just got out of jail. I can't be doing this stuff. What if I get slammed for ganging?
That's
a great line that I wrote down.
It's future slang. Yeah. You don't know how people are going to talk in 1999, Matt. That could very well be like some popular phrasing that kids are using in 1999.
The Hispanic gentleman in the jail would talk all the time when that whole Rico thing happened with the, you know.
That's right.
The Latin kings. They're all just, I got slammed for ganging in that Rico act.
And conversely, Cody's attitude is he's got to straighten up and fly right, keep his head down. Little brother Angel's about to get jumped into the gang, he lets us know, and he's super excited about it. He's all about that gang in life, and he kind of thinks that his brother is a fucking loser now. He's like, what the fuck? I thought you were cool as hell. You're coming out of jail like a fucking loser. What happened to you in there? It's a very similar dynamic to River's Edge when his older brother's Keanu. He's always like, you're a fucking pussy. Yeah. I'm a crazy hellion out there tearing shit up. You're just dumb Keanu. He's always playing a badass in these movies, and he's just in any sort of real life situation.
4'11", he would just be pudgy,
bullied into oblivion.
Yeah. But he's really cool. It's just his spirit. He's got a lot of heart.
Yeah,
you know,
He certainly does.
You love that guy. But it also brings up a point that I wanted to get at. The gangs, the Blackhearts especially, just a gang full of dorks.
Yeah, there's nobody who's, I guess it's maybe a little bit appropriate because we are dealing with high school kids here, and high school kids are just gangly wieners.
I guess so.
Any other movie like this, like, there'd be some sort of badasses going on. You'd have, like, some sort of heavy or whatever, but, like, literally, there isn't a single character here that isn't just, like, a skinny nerd.
And The Substitute, like you were saying, you hated the Kings of Destruction name, but they at least had, like,
cool name.
Real street-looking, gang-banging,
that's right,
you know, urban dwellers in that film.
Gigantic Indian men, whatnot.
Well, that too.
People doing some real damage in that movie. In this movie, I'm just like, I think this is more about fashion than it
bunch
is actual
of white guys,
crime.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they all have grenades and machine guns on them at all times.
And it still didn't make them look tough.
Firing them into the air willy-nilly.
Yeah.
They're not really doing any other crimes.
Yeah.
Like, nobody is, like, selling drugs or, like,
well, they have drugs. They've
pimping,
got edge.
Prostitutes, and they have drugs. Cool drugs that they're inhaling. And this is one of the first things that we see when Cody gets home is that, ooh, family life's not great here.
Ooh, no.
Sonny's all drugged out. His mom's all drugged out.
It's so great. Like, Sonny's like, oh, I gotta get more edge. I need edge. Mm-hmm. Like, give me edge.
Yeah, we're really hitting Sonny's drug addiction
Angel's
here
like,
in these opening scenes.
Oh, because, well, he gets into it, and he gets, like, his ass kicked by the razor heads or some shit, and, like, he's back at the house, and he's like, you guys fucking bailed on me. Like,
that's
you didn't
right.
have my back. I need edge. And Angel's like, I gotta get him edge. I gotta get him edge, bro. And she's like, fuck it, there's some in the kitchen. And then we hear this, like, yelling.
Uh-huh.
It's like a female, like, just don't take my edge.
A real sexy, drugged-out mom just appears from the shadows.
And so she just, like, all, like, Angel's like, look who's here, mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all like, ooh,
it's Cody.
I've let you down.
And here I am, all wild-haired, looking like I smell of feet. Like,
yeah.
This is...
They're like, you're like, ooh, we're going to get some backstory on this. Like, there's...
Yeah.
You know, like
it
maybe
certainly seems like we're
maybe
going
he
to.
Went to jail to like protect his mom or something. But,
then one
but there's
of the
some
best
kind
things
of
about
story
this movie,
with his mom.
There's no story.
Yeah, no.
They hint at it, but no, we never see the mom again.
The whole story is, look at that. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
What a shame.
The future is a hard place.
That should have been the tagline of their movie.
What a shame.
I made myself laugh.
First day of school, we sort of shot by it a little bit, but this is when we meet the new girl who's instantly just all over our boy Cody. She's just like, I want some of this dick right away.
Yeah.
And he's just a piece of shit to her.
Yeah.
Like, just a real scumbag. Just being like a petulant little prick, but she's still just like, you know what? No, I'm coming after this. This is good. We see all the killer robots have their first day of class, and there's always like a confrontation or whatever, and then we get to see their awesome robo point of view, where it's just like, ooh, what should I do? Discipline, physical discipline, verbal threat, blah,
it's
blah,
like
blah.
It's like RoboCop and Terminator, but better.
Yeah, just all that thrown into one, but with Pam Grier and a weird old man and a muscled-up gym teacher.
A weird old
But this
man,
is where John P. Ryan, the weird old man, just first shines, because we get this scene where couple of gangbangers are fighting in his history class, and he full-on just dismantles them physically and then puts them over his knee and then robo-spanks them for like a good 5 minutes, just like a fucking pneumatic fucking machine, his robot hands just up and down, crazy spanking these boys on their bottoms.
And they're just like, oh! Like, it hurts really
bad. Everybody's just kind of watching it, but like, nobody's just like, how can his arm move like that? It seems like he has superpowers.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. And why is he spanking 17-year-old boys? Like, this is very, very weird. Everybody kind of is just like...
have ideas as to why he might be spanking 17-year-old boys as an old man, but...
Yeah. He's walking around.
That's what I would...
His old man face. He's really leaning into that pipe he's carrying around. That's real fucking cool.
Yeah.
He's just cheesing it up and shooting for the fences and just being insane, just overacting as this killer robot. And I love it. It's perfect for the tone of the movie. Like, you're in a dumb movie like this, just fucking go crazy.
Yeah. Oh, back to real quick Cody meeting the new girl.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up being the principal's daughter.
A crazy twist that.
But who gives?
Sort of leads somewhere. Not
I don't
really.
Think so.
No,
I don't give a fuck about that. I just like our boy Cody when he introduces himself to her,
uh-huh.
and he says, "Cody Culp, Blackheart for life, whether I like it or not."
Yeah, that's.
It's a lot of the dialogue you get from this kid.
I guess that's some character work right there. We're establishing who he's been forced into the gang life. He's not like all these other gang guys. For what there is for character work in this movie, that's about it. That's the extent of what we're getting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just seem to be writing down a lot of dialogue throughout this movie, and rightly so, because one thing you gotta know about the dialogue in this movie is terrible. Just like yeah. next level bad. There's a lot of things I like about this movie. Whew, the dialogue's not it. Especially when the three teachers are hanging around. And, like, everything they're saying is, like, a pun of some kind,
yeah.
but, like...
Unless the old man's saying it.
They never land, or, like, it's just, like, there's not a... They're not, like, making robot jokes, or sometimes they are, but I don't know, like, it's weird. They're talking in catchphrases yeah. to each other, and I'm like, why are these robots even talking at all? They're fucking robots.
When the old man teacher talks, though, it's always great, because, again, he's just going in hard,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like... The children these days, I'm smoking a pipe.
Got a twinkle in his eye. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, teacher puns is what we're getting. Just like, ooh, we're been a crazy car chase. How about we take them to driver's ed?
An apple a day keeps the doctor away,
I want to know, like, how long Stacy Keach took programming all of these, yeah. like, semi-detached ironic puns into his killer robot teachers.
Stacy Keach.
Somebody had to have been working on this.
What a weird guy, that Stacy Keach. Oh, one of the guys working on it
mm-hmm.
was the guy that Jerry broke his thumbs.
All right, that's it. The fight's already started. I'm going upstairs. Who's coming? Elaine?
It depends on who's going. Are you going?
I'm not going if he's going.
Me either.
And I'm not going if he's going.
Well, I'm going.
Well, if he's going, I'm not going.
But it's your house.
I still don't have to go.
Well, I don't want to go. Jerry's not going.
Why won't you go if I go? Why? I'll tell you why.
No, don't, Jerry.
Like you didn't call me a phony?
What? Thanks. Real good.
All right.
Jerry? First of all, I think you completely misunderstood what I said. I meant it in a complimentary way. I mean, you know, when people say he's bad, it really means he's good, that sort of thing. You know, it's slang.
Use it in a sentence.
Man, that Michael Jordan is so phony. Why'd you tell him?
Stacy Keach is rolling around in, like, a lab coat and, like, looking crazy. And then, like, all of his underlings are just, like, normal guys in T-shirts. It's like, yeah. Why the fuck is Stacy Keach so crazy looking? Yeah. His whole crew is just normal guys in T-shirts.
Also, like, what time of day were, like, these guys getting to that school to, like, work in a lab and
yeah, I guess
watch the robots at school?
Man, all the logistics of this program just isn't really adding
yeah.
up.
And, like, they're just in that room all day. Did they get bathroom breaks? Like,
yeah.
It's just a room full of monitors and them just being like, I don't like the way the robots are reacting.
This is one of the next bullet points I've got written down here is how quickly things escalate in this movie. Cause,
yeah.
yeah. Like, the next day, day two, starts with a rape scene where one of the gang members tries to rape the principal's daughter
yeah.
in broad daylight in like mm-hmm. the front lawn of the school with hundreds of people around. I'm like,
yeah, not even hidden, just like on the other side of a fence.
That's pretty fucking crazy. Yeah. So then Cody comes and, you know, was a total dick to her, but he's still going to defend her honor. So
right.
he gets in a fight with these people.
Well, he came there because, again, he could see it because it was in plain sight.
That's right. He gets in some trouble, so, like, you know, he's taken to the principal's office, and he's like, hey, bro, like, I was saving your daughter from being raped, and the principal's like, yeah, whatever. This is not just a couple moments after that when the killer robot gym teacher is just beating the shit out of him in gym
yeah.
class, and then he snaps a kid's neck, like, a drugged-out kid.
Now, that's a bullet point for me.
Gets a gun. And he's going to go to try to save Cody because Cody's just getting the shit kicked out of him by the gym coach for no reason. And, like, this kid just dies. seconds after we're introduced to him. And I'm like, well, the movie just fucking started. There's been no like system where like the computer programs break down or get degraded anything. And like slowly they just start getting more and more violent than they need to be. No, they're just killing students right away.
Their end game was always violence.
That's how they start. Yeah, that's the first plot point. Yeah. They're murdering children. And like Stacy Keach and all those people are a little bit like, I don't think they should be murdering people. And Stacy Keach is like, no, it's cool. They're just going to keep murdering people. It's fine. It just escalates to this point where people start getting murdered right and left. And at no point is anybody just like, this isn't what the program was supposed to be. Clearly, this is what the program was supposed to be.
That big kill right there, that's one of my bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
That young drug addict that gets his neck snapped in the gym class.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is?
No, I don't know.
He's always had a little problem with substance abuse.
Oh, no.
Because he's also really drunk in the back of a blue vehicle.
Whoa, still.
Phil, what are you doing here? You're partied out, man. Again.
What if he honks in the car?
I'm giving you a no-honk guarantee.
Phil, if you're gonna spew, spew into this.
Phil, if you're gonna spew,
they pick up.
Spew into this.
Dude, that's fun.
Yeah.
So the teachers start killing kids. They start killing Phil from Wayne's World. And this is where Malcolm McDowell, the principal, he's the only person who seems to be like, maybe this robot program isn't a good idea.
I don't know, bring you in
and ask you about it, Stacy Keach. And there's this crazy scene where Stacy Keach is like, no, this is how things are supposed to go. Yeah. Don't worry about it. As he's wearing a leather duster and sexily eating a banana.
Yeah.
What was going on in that scene?
Yeah.
Albino Stacy Keach just like making goo-goo eyes at Malcolm McDowell and sexy eating a banana?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the point of
was weird
all
as
that
hell.
Was. But at the end of that scene, it's Keach exiting the room, taking one last bite of the banana.
One last look back at the camera, one last bite of that banana.
And when he does, you get like a really weird like sound effect of him. It's just like...
It's like a moist rip.
Yeah,
it's
like it's just a banana. I don't think it would sound like that.
It does when Stacy Keach eats a banana.
Yeah.
That was not put in afterwards. That's just the sounds that his mouth makes.
Yeah. So shortly after that, there's more stuff with Keach and Malcolm McDowell, where they're like, we can't be doing this. And he's like, well, you're already in it. And they like...
Too late.
They go to like dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And like Malcolm McDowell... Dahl's like, oh, I'm losing my shit. And Keach is like, you're in too deep, bro.
That's
like,
right.
There's good money in this. Like, I'm going to sell this shit to the government.
Yeah, essentially, he's just taken, like, army robot killer things and haphazardly just changed them a little bit so they're teachers. And he's just got a bunch of big contracts to sell these things.
Yeah, they were already...
He doesn't care if they succeed or not. All he's doing is cashing in.
They were already supposed to be in Colombia for the big 10-year war.
Oh,
but
I didn't,
apparently they didn't go.
I didn't
go.
Catch that dialogue about the 10-year war.
Yeah.
I think I was zoning out anytime those two were talking logistics. And I was like, all right, movie, you don't make any sense.
The
Let's
real
move
reason,
to the next
though,
action scene.
I'm bringing this scene up is because Malcolm McDowell's like, oh, this is wearing down on me. I got to drink this like glass of whiskey. And Stacy Keach is like, go ahead as I take a big pull from this wine glass full of milk that I'm drinking.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm an albino man.
He's like full on Nick Caging it in this movie with weird choices that just have nothing to do with anything. And you just have to wonder how much was built into the script. How much is just Stacy Keach being like, yeah, I'll do this movie, but I'm doing it weird.
See that wig over there? That's the one I want. Put it on me. Yeah, it's never explained. They're never like, he's an albino mad scientist.
Nope.
You're just like, why does he look that way? Why is he drinking that milk? Why is he eating that banana that way?
Next big kid that dies is Sonny.
Oh, yeah.
So, fucking crazy old man teacher. Sonny shows up to class. He's all fucked up on drugs. Crazy old man teacher's like, you're fucked up on drugs.
Bro, you're an edgehead.
Let me take you... I'm going to go find your drugs. He takes them out to his locker. He full-on cyborg robots his hand through the metal locker, tears it off the fucking the door off the wall, sees all of his edge in there, and he's like, ooh, this is compute. We're seeing robot vision, and it's just like, well, you got a kid who's on drugs. You should murder him.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is once again, he starts force feeding all these drugs down his throat and fucking murders him. And once again, like at no point is anybody just like, oh, he's glitching out. This isn't how the program's supposed to work.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to respond to drug abuse with murder. It's just like
Stacy Keach is like, let it play out here.
Yeah, play it by ear. Like this is quite frankly, this is fine.
But
nothing's explained. There's like no dramatic tension whatsoever. This is so weird. It seems like it should be like the sort of Frankenstein story where, like, you know, these things slowly go bad and it gets out of hand. But it just starts out of hand.
Yeah.
The whole movie's out of hand from frame one.
So everybody seems to be okay with it except for when the history teacher comes back and Cody, our main hero, notices that motherfucker's got Sonny's Madonna
blood
cross that he always wears.
Yeah, he's always carrying around rosary beads or something.
Some shit.
Which really makes no sense because...
I don't remember seeing it, but yeah, like Cody tells me that it's a matter of fact.
Yeah,
that's right. Like I have no reason not to take him at his word.
Also, it really makes no sense. Why is a killer robot like taking souvenirs off of the fucking kids that he kills? Like... To what end of that, other than just so Cody can see that it happened, then he could be like, something's not right with these teachers?
All
right,
so I read about that, and apparently that crazy old man just kind of ad-libbed taking the cross.
Okay.
Because he thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
And the director was like, nah, that's really cool. I like
Super
that.
Super cool. We're rolling with
and
this.
And then apparently like worked this. In this storyline where it was like, this is how Cody knows they're not on the level. Mm-hmm. This saves me a lot of time having to write a story as to how he figures it out.
That was not part of my script yet, and we are shooting.
Yeah,
I don't know how that could possibly be true. But.
We're clearly halfway through this movie. Thank you for establishing that, crazy old man.
Cody does get suspicious. He's trying to get fucking principal's daughter on his side, trying to get the principal through her, but nobody wants to hear what he has to say because he's
tries
an
to do it the right
gang
way.
Member. And tries he's just a hoodlum right. punk, so he's got to get some proof. So he steals the directory of where all the teachers live.
Yeah.
He finds out these three teachers all live together, which is strange. There's probably some sort of weird sex thing going on, I would imagine. And him and old girl hop on his wicked fucking dirt bike, and they head over to what seems like a pretty nice part of town where these killer robots are.
But he's got a tracker. How could he just ditch school, mate?
And also, why are they putting the killer robots in a condo? Like, why aren't they just... plugged into a closet somewhere in Stacy Keach's lab or something.
Because they have a condo filled with cans of WD-40. And chrome cleaner.
Yeah, there's no possessions in this apartment other than some WD-40 and the bloody cross of that the old man took. So
and one brassiere.
Yeah, one brassiere, because we got to make sure Pam Grier's big-ass robot titties are supported.
Yeah.
So they come home while our young heroes are searching through this. But Cody has found the bloody cross. He's like, I thought I saw that happen, and now it's confirmed. These three... teachers are killer teachers. Something ain't right here.
Yeah.
And we get another cool chase scene here where the three killer robots get in like a Ford Taurus or something.
Yep.
And chase Cody and Chrissy on the motorcycle. It's a really, really low rent version of the scene where John Connor is getting chased by the T-1000 in a semi.
Yeah.
In Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Because it's low rent because it's not a liquid metal Terminator. It's just normal cyborgs. And it's not a full-on semi-truck. It's a Ford Taurus.
Yeah. The girl just like runs home or something.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll take care of this.
Ditches her in the woods and is just like...
And the teacher...
Don't worry. I've been in a car chase with killer robot teachers before. I can handle this.
The teacher's like, we don't give a shit about... her, like, she's not really bad. Like, we need to kill this gang kid.
Let's eliminate the bad influence.
Yeah. And it all culminates to them, like, on a bridge that's out.
Mm-hmm.
And
classic action movie trope. If you're in a car chase and there's a bridge, the bridge is going to be out. There are no completed bridges in the entire history of action movies.
Mm-mm. And so the old boy, like, lays down the bike and skids and stops right before he hits the end of the road.
That's a cool fucking move.
And, like, clearly there was still plenty of room for the robots to stop in their Ford Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
But the Patrick Kilpatrick, the gym teacher, just goes, I hate water.
Yep.
And then they just drive
off the bridge at full speed
into the water
for no reason, into the fucking Puget Sound or whatever. And we get a scene a couple minutes later where they just are walking out of the water.
Yeah.
Not very convenient. Now you got to walk home. You don't have your Ford Taurus anymore. Who programmed that into their system?
Yeah. So now the robots are just going into business for themselves.
Yeah. Now it's personal because they were snooping around their braziers. So it's time to fucking take these kids out.
We're going
to
take them out by turning the two gangs against each other. P.S.
Smart move for a killer robot.
Cody's little brother, Angel, just got jumped into the gang the night before at the punk rock club.
Yeah.
Where everybody was playing punk rock and shooting machine guns in the air,
just willy-nilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of those hot rounds were coming down and hurting anybody, thank God. It seemed like a very unsafe environment.
So he's full-on gang here. Cody, like, survives this attack, and he's like, well, I'm going to go hang out with Angel because I still love him, even though he's in a gang.
Yeah, they shoot some hoops.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, little bro, it's cool that you're in a gang, even though I don't like the gang anymore, and I'm trying to get my feelings on this gang matter.
Yeah.
Not clear. From scene to scene, they completely change.
There's some type of character arc happening for me right now. No one's really certain what it is. I don't know. And so Angel's like, all right, cool. And then Cody's like, well, I'm done playing basketball. I'm just going to walk alongside this train, see you never.
Yep.
And Angel's like, all right, I'm going to dribble this ball home with both hands at the same time because I've never dribbled a ball before.
Made me so mad. He was double dribbling the entire scene where they were playing basketball together. And I was like, how are you not calling that? That shot does not count. He double dribbled all the way to the fucking hoop.
Yeah, bro, you were in jail.
This is what happens when you grow up in the pussy posse. Any sort of real world skills, you're in a strange little bubble. You just two-hand dribbling a basketball. Nobody ever corrects you.
So thankfully the robots stop it. They're like, hey, quit dribbling that ball that way. We're going to kill you to get at your brother.
They are all about the rules, except for the whole no murdering rule. That's the one rule that they never follow. But other than that, they're constantly like pointing out violations. Yeah. Like, this person's violating the dress code, so let's murder them.
Yeah.
This person's traveling and nobody's calling it, so let's murder them.
So yeah, they get a hold of old Angel here and they're
double
like,
dribble.
Hey, that was a good game.
Yeah.
They're like,
the best.
You're just dead now. And then they're like, let's go find somebody from that Mexican gang.
Yeah.
The Razor.
It's a pretty cool way to start a gang fight, whereas they just take one of the gang members, light him on fire, and then throw him through the picture window of the gang's like hideout.
Yeah. And they're like, that's our dude. What the hell?
Somebody lit him on fire and threw him through our window.
Yeah.
That's not cool. I'm mad about this.
And so then the robots took Angel's dead body and hung it in, I guess, what's the Blackheart's base?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, no, no, this cannot be. And Cody just happens to show up there. Why? I don't remember.
Well, because he's done walking along the train tracks, which is what he chose to do instead of walk his little brother home. Even though they live in the same house.
And he sees the
go off in opposite directions from that basketball court.
He sees the hullabaloo and he's like, just get him down, everybody get away. And they're like, oh no, we're sad. And he's like, get a blanket to cover him. Mm-hmm. And then this one chick just starts wailing.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, no, no, no. Cody, look what the basketball says.
She seemed like she was on a lot of edge, probably, it seemed like to me.
And, like, the basketball set in blood, like, war zone.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Let's have a big gang war.
Yeah.
And then, like, the On Fire guy, too, there said something like, we are the Blackhearts. We did this.
Oh, that's
come
right. Yeah.
Fight in a gang war with us.
So after the basketball thing, Cody's holding his dead brother, and he's like, no! Ah! Jump me in! Jump me fucking in now! Because he wants back in the gang.
Which, you're still in the gang, aren't you? Like, I
think he said he wasn't.
You can't just say that you're not in a gang.
He wasn't, you know.
This movie doesn't understand gangs very well, is my point.
But anyway, he got beat up at the punk rock club. Him getting
that's
out.
A good song.
I don't know. Either way, he's in a gang again.
It's very confused, but it's very dramatic re-entry back into the gang, which apparently you can just enter and leave whenever you want to. That's fine.
Yeah. So
the next scene is a full-on war movie scene where two gangs.
Well, right before that, okay. McDowell's character has his last stand.
Oh, what happens to him?
He's like, this is officially too much.
Yeah, like
these robots are bad.
These robots are murdering children willy-nilly. I don't think that's really was the whole point of this, is it? And so Peach is like, yeah, kinda. Kinda was.
Yeah. So then the robots just kill him.
You got to.
And then they kill all the scientists too.
Yeah. How did they get Malcolm McDowell to play such an inconsequential small part in such a dumb movie? Like, what sort of favor was called in to make him be this principal for no reason?
A good chunk of change for 2 days worth of work would be my understanding.
Maybe. I mean, we're spending $5 million on this movie, and I don't know how much could go to actors' salaries when the entire third act is...
This is an explosion.
Insane action explosions and a whole bunch of pretty high-end cyborg special effects we got coming.
Yeah,
so, it seems like all that $5 million's got to be up on the screen.
So we got the last of the story out of the way. The robots killed Malcolm McDowell, and their last move is they impersonate each other's gang leader voices to call the other one and be like...
That's pretty cool.
Hey, like... Oh, no, wait, that's later. That's after. Yeah, you're right. So now we go to the
to the warehouse. War scene.
Yeah,
it's just two armies shooting machine. And I'm like, these people are all dirt poor, living in a post-apocalyptic thing. Where are they getting all these semi-automatic weapons, all of this ammunition, all these grenades, all these rocket launchers? Like, that should cost a pretty penny. How are all these fucking poor-ass kids buying all these armaments?
It's a free
fire. Where's this shit coming from?
It's a free fire zone, so who's to say?
I guess, yeah, that's true. It's probably just how things are in the free fire zone.
Yeah. It's like hell zone.
Free guns for everybody.
Remember when we watched that movie?
I do remember when we watched that movie. It's a lot like hell zone, except there's no ultimate warrior playing like a big sword wielding badass.
Which would have been cool. Yeah. That would have been a cool character to have in this.
I guess the...
Him just like killing high school kids?
The roided out gym coach is killer robots. Yeah. The closest thing we get to like a real badass in this movie.
That's fair. So they're shooting each other up poorly.
Mm-hmm.
People don't start dying until the robots show up.
Once again, they're very bad at being ultra-violent street gangs. Yeah. It's just a bunch of little pussies in admittedly very cool outfits.
It's like when the bad guys in the A-Team would shoot, and it's like, oh, those bullets are never hitting anything.
So the robot teachers are just like, well, we instigated this gang war, but these kids are so bad at killing each other. Let's just join the gang war and just start killing them.
Let's sneak into their war and just kill them without them realizing we're there.
Which they do a very good job of. These killer robots are good killers. They kill a lot of underage children during this scene.
Just about all of them, yeah.
Just about all of them.
And then finally just like boils down to like Cody and the other guy, Kurt. Cody and Kurt.
Is Kurt the leader of the other gang?
No, Kurt's the leader of the Blackhearts.
So he's the like sort of bleach blonde guy who's always just like, Cody, fucking you're pussy and I'm cool.
Yeah.
And Cody's just always just like, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm still in the gang. Maybe I don't want to be part of the gang life anymore. It's different from scene to scene.
So, I don't think it was even Kurt in the scene though, because it was a dark-haired guy, because Kurt doesn't get it here.
Kind of a gang leader's named Kurt.
Either way, they get the drop on two other dudes from the other gang, and they go in this building. And there's a cool scene where like Cody and the other guy are like, "You go this way, I'm gonna go that way," and they're like, "Okay." And then the old man shows up
with his pipe.
Yeah, and he fucking rips through the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
He pulls that kid backwards through the wall, busts him in half.
Yeah,
and cuts him in half, and like.
He's doing a lot of just like, bear paw and things. He's ripping through human flesh. He's ripping through metal lockers.
Cody's like, the fuck was that? And he looks in and it's just him like with the pipe like, hello, old bean. Or something along those lines. And then they're like, well, this is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's like, tries to go back.
I'm pretty sure these teachers are killer robots.
And people still don't necessarily believe him. And he's like, no, seriously, it is. And then we get the part.
Just, it's all adding up to killer robots, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. So then we get the part where the teachers impersonate the gang leader's voices, and they're like, hey, this is me from the gang, you pussy.
Yeah,
like,
some more Terminator shit.
Come fight me at the high school if you think it's cool. And they're like, all right, yeah.
How's Woofy? He's barking.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have a dog named Woofy, you idiot. You idiot Terminator.
So Cody can't fight these killer robot teachers on himself. So this is how we get the big moment where he's got to get the other gang. He's got to join the gangs. It's got to be kids versus teachers. So he goes to the other gang and gives basically the speech from Braveheart.
Oh, the best, though.
It's very inspirational.
Before they get there, the leader of the Razorheads, his second in command, Fazio, it's Hector's the leader.
Okay.
And Fazio's like, dude, you're going to go to this and meet up with Cody? And he's like, well, yeah. He's like,
once again, super badass gang name, Cody.
And Hector. And he's like, well, do you trust him? And he goes, like a vampire giving me a blowjob.
Yeah, that's probably the best line of the movie.
So yeah, they're at the high school. He's giving the Braveheart speech.
I'm going in there to waste some teachers. Yeah. Are you with me?
If I could change, you could change.
Yeah, for some reason, the teachers are not at their condo that we've established they live in at this point. They're just, in the school in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so they're just living there now.
Let's just go to the school where those teachers clearly will be, and then we'll kill them all.
Well, because the teachers did the fake phone calls to be like, meet me at the school to fight, because they were trying to lure them there to kill them off.
Sure.
Because they didn't finish the job at the war zone.
Got a couple stragglers. Yeah. Let's kill the rest of these children. But, you know, they finally smarten up. So now we get our big climax, our big war. Kids versus robot teachers in the high school.
Well, kids on motorcycles.
Kids on motorcycles.
In the school.
With rocket launchers and machine guns.
Right.
And this is where this movie just fucking goes batshit nuts.
Yeah.
And it gets fucking awesome. Just full on awesome.
Everything explodes. Everybody's got weaponized hands if they're
Pam
a robot.
Pam Grier, apropos of nothing, for no reason, just rips open her robot chest just to show everybody, like, hey, fuck you, I'm a robot on the inside.
Yeah.
So then for the rest of the movie, we get her fucking robot titties hanging out. While, you can just see, mechanical shit moving on behind the titties, and then green goop.
It's cool looking.
And then her fucking hand melts and reveals under her hand she's got a flamethrower for her arm. So she's running around, big black titties out, fucking just flamethrowing teenagers. And I'm just like, is this the perfect movie I'm watching? Because it seems like it probably is.
It would only be cooler if they were her real boobs and
not just
fake,
not moving
robot boobs.
But whatever, I'll take some robot boobs over nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, especially since there was no boobies in this.
That's true.
When there should have been some wilding out high school girl that's just like, I'm gang for life. I don't even care.
Substitute did it really well last week. We said, you're making a movie about high school kids. It's hard to get some titties in there. That's why you have to set a random scene in a strip club for no reason. It's a tried and true method that's worked for action movies since the beginning of time.
Correct.
Just set a scene in a strip club for no reason.
But at least they gave us a little something with some robot titties. So she's, like you said, chasing them around, robot titties out, robot guts hanging out, just torching everybody.
Gym teacher tears his arm off in a cool, a gross, goopy horror movie special effects scene. And then he turns out has a missile launcher for an arm under that skin. So he just starts missile launching kids.
Yeah. And then the old man history teacher. Mm-hmm. He's got
the short shrift as far as cool robot arms.
Yeah,
go.
He's just got flame that
flamethrower, missile launcher. Then he's just got
he's got the claw hand,
robo claw.
Like you try to win the stuffed animals with.
But there's a cool drill in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's a nice attachment.
So he's able to claw the one kid's head, and then the drill starts coming out slowly.
Oh, that's how Kurt gets it.
Yeah, that's Kurt. So he drills into Kurt's head, and he's laughing and looking maniacal while Kurt's blood splashes all over his face. That should have got him the Oscar, that scene right there.
Yeah, this scene...
He's got a real mischief in his eyes, this old man. I love him.
Third act where it all comes off the rails, man.
There's,
you should have been leaning into this the whole movie.
Yeah, shit goes bad. Old man gets his fucking entire robot head blown off with some close-range fucking machine gun fire. The gym teacher gets all tore up, so he's just a full-on, animatronic, robot thing running around.
T-800,
Seemed pretty decent special effects for such a B-level fucking movie like this. Like, it all looks pretty good. It looks pretty cool. Like, it's just like a lot of horror movie stuff that looks great. Yeah, you got full, a lot of robot stuff.
Stan Winston puppets going on here, essentially.
While everything's exploding.
I mean, there's no way they afforded Stan Winston.
But. Crazy motorcycle stunts because everybody's just riding motorcycles inside a classroom.
Yeah, there's a bus explosion, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, we run over fucking gym teacher with a tricked out like Mad Max school bus.
Oh yeah, the they fucking blow up the one room with Pam Grier in it by filling it up with gas.
They're in her like her chemistry class, and they utilize the fact that she has a flamethrower to be like, well, she's also got to have like a big fuel canister inside of her robot body behind those robot tits. So Cody's just like, hey, bitch, over here or something. And he fucking full on just like throws an axe into her and fucking blows up her fuel tank.
Right.
And then that blows up all the gas in the
lab. He turned on the lab as well. Burners.
So then we just get a gigantic explosion.
Right.
Old man's had his head machine gunned off. Pam Grier's robo tits buy it in a big ball of fire. Fucking, we run over the gym teacher with the Mad Max school bus.
The gym teacher's blowing everybody up with that missile launcher on his hand.
They fuck him up real bad. He's like mostly robot at this point. He doesn't really have any skin, but he just keeps going. He's like the real badass of the movie because he fucks him up pretty good. And we get like a good two or three climactic fights with him as he just gets in worse and worse shape. Finally, he's about to kill Chrissy, the principal's daughter, and Cody heroically forklifts him.
He's not gonna. We think he's dead, and Stacy Keach is still alive and gets the upper hand on them.
I forgot Stacy Keach comes back.
He gets old girl, and he's like, not so fast, I'm Hollywood actor Stacy Keach. I'm the real brains behind all this.
I was going to make millions of dollars selling these robot teachers, but now I'm just a killer.
Instead
it's a mystery
like
who I am or what I really want.
Yeah. Fuck it, I'm going to kill you
kids. At my bright white rat tail. I'm a murderer.
And so that's when the PE teacher comes back and he's like, I'm so fucked up right now, all I know is kill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rips out Stacy Keach's heart. But not before Stacy Keach can kill Hector from the rival gang.
Yeah, he does just rip out his heart with his robot hand.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And so he's dead. And so now we've established it is just Cody, old girl, and the PE teacher. And like you said, he's
chasing old girl. Yeah. Old girl tries to climb up a ladder, much like old Daryl from last week tries to get away by climbing up a rope. Not a very good thing.
Nope.
He's coming after her. It's looking bad. But yeah, that's when fucking Cody forklifts the shit out of him pretty haphazardly. He almost forklifted his girlfriend in half just during the process of
luckily stopping like 2 inches from her guts as well.
It would have been cool if he just accidentally murdered her while trying to save her in the movie. He was just like, whoops, whatever, we'll keep going.
And he's like, now I'm just going to pull off of the ladder, and even though you're stuck on there as well.
And then she like wraps a chain around his. Where are we at this point in the school?
It's in like the
shop. I guess
shop,
once again, it's just like the Freddy Krueger boiler quote, room.
Unquote shop
every,
or whatever.
Yeah, every single school in any sort of movie just has a full-on Freddy Krueger boiler room going on. All sorts of industrial nonsense. So he's able to like lower the forklift, which then like separates his head from his body because it's attached to the chain, and we get
because he twisted his head around on the chain by doing donuts in the
forklift. He's doing a lot of cool donuts in the forklift. Every high school has a forklift
because everybody just knows how to drive those.
Well, he's certified. That's one of the cut scenes you see at the jail. He's getting his forklift driver certification.
Okay, all right. They had him doing trades.
That's why he's so effectively rehabilitated because, you know, they're giving him life skills. Like,
I've got to focus.
This isn't a post-apocalyptic wasteland, but they're surprisingly very progressive in their prison system.
Yeah, that's fair.
And until this whole weird letting out the prisoners to be killed by killer robots thing happened. But this is just a blip, a little blip in an otherwise pristine record of this prison system.
So, like, he spins the head around, and then he starts lowering the forklift to pull it apart and just dismember this robot into a million pieces, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But every couple of seconds in between the tearing, they show Cody's face, and he just keeps going, as he's yanking the forklift down.
I mean, if there's any great, like, problem with this movie, this otherwise fucking badass crazy movie, is that the main character is just such a drip. He's got no personality. Yeah. He's got no presence.
He's fucking like, dork.
If there was some sort of cool badass playing this role who you could like get behind, yeah, this movie would be a fucking all-timer.
That's fair.
Instead, it's just like, eh, I don't really
fucking
care what happens.
Brad Gregg.
I just want to see fucking killer robots kill kids.
Yeah.
And so it's over. Him and his girlfriend live happily ever after. They leave the school, which has been exploded.
Yeah.
They exploded an entire school,
right,
to film this third act of this movie. How much did that cost? This had to have just been like a school that was going to get knocked down anyways or something.
I guess.
So they're like, yeah, just put killer robots all over it and explode the whole thing.
Yeah, fuck it. Do what you want, Hollywood filmmakers.
I feel like this movie should have cost like four times what it actually cost with all the things that they fucking explode.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear it was only five. So yeah, that's
they
that.
Did great work.
Yeah. Made it work on a budget, you know?
So that's how you get more future jobs. Fucking make that, put
that's
that money
get,
up on the screen.
That's how you get approved for a straight-to-video class of 1999-2.
Yeah, the even substitute.
Though even though
colon, the substitute.
Class of 19...
I have not seen.
Class of 1984, the sequel, class of 1999, mm-hmm, and then the sequel to that, class of 1999-2, the substitute.
Which is not directed by Mark L. Lester, so I've never bothered to check it out. But maybe it's cool. I don't know.
It should be class of 1999-2, colon, the substitute, colon, class of 1984-3.
And then you cross over and actually have Behringer in it. Behringer is like the one human teacher. He's got to fight the other robot teachers.
He's got to gang together with these gangs.
Oh, man. That would be quite the twist.
Whew.
God, we got some. Let's take a break. Let's do some Edge to get ourselves hyped up. And let's write this
script. Treatment.
Let's write this script. And then we'll come back.
If we have time.
Yeah,
Judgment Day.
If we have time. Fucking class of 1999 in Judgment Day.
There's definitely something very weird going on here.
Detective Roger Mortis has a problem. He's dead. But Detective Bigelow is bringing him back alive.
We have something on the monitor, Captain.
That's okay. Don't get up. Told you not to get up.
Now, he's got 12 hours to solve the toughest murder case of his career. His own.
What is this thing? Very ugly. Get down!
Remember the good old days when guns killed people?
That's it. From now on, I'm a vegetarian.
How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Treat Williams.
Sit down.
And Joe Piscopo are dead heat.
You shoot them, they don't die.
You can't keep a good cop dead.
Do, 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 do. Remember how Pee-wee's Playhouse used to have the
incidental noise music that would come
at the end. It had the different ending music.
And he was flying around on his bike or something.
Like, cause the,
I remember it being very pleasant.
The opening was the, you know, and like Incredible Hulk had the sad ending music.
Yeah, that's true. It's, I feel like an art.
I like that.
Then, yeah, I'm not seeing these days. Where's the sad ending music to end your TV show?
I guess Pee-wee's wasn't really sad as much as it was
kind of like a wistful, saying goodbye to Pee-wee.
Yeah,
like, yo, we've got to part
hope
ways.
Hope I see you again. Yeah.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know.
Hope I don't, or hope my parents don't get in an awful car accident and I die on my way to school.
Yeah.
And then I don't see you Saturday.
Too.
Well, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
I was in a car accident in the old carpool.
You think maybe that happened to Pee-wee's parents and they died, and that's why he's a child who just lives in a house alone?
Wow. Yeah.
Could be. I don't know.
Could be, man.
Just throwing that out there.
What's that thing you have, Pee-wee?
Oh, my abstinence ring.
No, in your other hand.
Oh, this thing? It's my new iPad.
What's an iPad?
The iPad is Apple's latest revolutionary device. The consensus on the internet is that its name closely resembles a popular brand of sanitary napkins.
What's a sanitary napkin?
Duh, honky. It's a napkin that's super clean.
I thought it was a tampon.
Judgment Day is where we judge the films that we've discussed in our previous segment. It's where we look out to the world and see what you, the internet mutants, have thought about these movies we're watching. And, you know, we rate and give our final thoughts.
Yeah.
So let's get a couple of one-bullet reviews in here to show the side of people that don't like Class of 1999, a couple five-bullet reviews to get the opinions of people who love it. This first one-bullet review is from IMDb user Triple P.
Triple P.
He makes a lot of good points. You know, if a cast includes Malcolm McDowell, if he's not the villain, he's not effective. This movie clearly displays what not to do in a film. It's supposed to be a sci-fi when it clearly wants to be a mild horror film. I don't care how low the budget was, because that doesn't matter at all in terms of the way this film is. I'm not sure if that's a complete thought or what.
Huh.
But he brings it back together here in this is his second
part. I thought that was just it.
The acting is bad. The soundtrack is poor, aside from the Nine Inch Nails track. And the plot is so unbelievably non-existent that you get the idea that the whole movie is just a cheap excuse to shoot people and blow things up. Exactly, Triple P. That's exactly what it is.
Doi.
Don't get caught by the box ad and all the hype over this movie. Seriously, folks, all this movie represents is a way to sucker video renters out there into spending a buck on trash like this. Unless you're into mindless killing and drivel for a script, don't even touch it. It is really difficult to explain how explicitly bad this film is without profanity, so I'll leave it at this. One bullet.
So I'll leave it at this.
Triple P.
Fuck.
He didn't like it.
Triple.
Doesn't sound like he likes action movies very much, though. I don't know what he thought he was going to get from.
What's that
Class
P stand
of 1999.
For? Prick.
I had a couple more one bullet reviews because these next two are really short. This first one is from Amazon user Kay Wiggin. Kay says, "Worst pants ever. It was 8 years ago and the pants were apparently at its worst. Stacy Keach's hair should be jettisoned into space. If you like bad movies or wear horrible pants, this is the film for you." One bullet from Amazon user Kay Wiggin.
What do the kids say? Weird flex?
Yeah, weird flex, but okay.
Yeah.
That's a thing kids say. This next one bullet review is from Amazon user PJ Snyder. I just want to throw this one in here because it's kind of weird. "I don't know which movie you people saw, but in my opinion, this movie was terrible. The only good thing about it is its comedic value. That and I watched it with a total hottie." One bullet review.
PJ, nobody likes PJ a braggart, Snyder. Okay?
Man, I don't know.
Plus, Pixar didn't happen.
Spend a night watching Class of 1999 with a hottie doesn't sound bad to me.
Tits are GTFO.
All right, this five-bullet review, other end of the spectrum, from Amazon user Daron.
Oh, Daron?
Yeah, Daron. He says, "School's out, punk. This is a sequel to Class of 1984, but instead of the kids running the school, they replaced some teachers with cyborgs to law the laydown."
Yep.
"It's a secret program to lower the violence in the school district, but of course the cyborgs go too far by killing some kids. Of course there's a kid to save the day. He's an ex-gang member turning over a new leaf." That's in quotes for some reason. "The movie is action-packed and it's a fun ride. It's funny how the past conceived the future. We still don't have cyborgs and kids don't rule the world." Five bullets from Amazon user Derone. This next five bullet review is from IMDb user Eliana, who seems like a fine, fine lady.
Is this the hottie that PJ watched the film with?
It might have been. If so, it sounds like PJ got pretty lucky, because Eliana has to say, "Violence? Have you seen the news on television? What can I say in my bad English? I love this film. Street gangs, guns, drugs, evil robot teachers, a cute boy who falls in love with a nice girl. This evening I could see it again. Okay, that's true. I'm a romantic girl, and I dreamed about Cody many times. If you don't know this film, you have to watch it once. And if you don't like it, it's not my fault. 5 bullets from boned up IMDb user Eliana.
It's weird
dreaming about Cody.
PJ didn't mention that he got to watch this movie with a hot girl because he ordered her off the internet.
Hot girl who barely speaks English. Yeah. It's, sounds like a perfect date.
I mean, I had her shipped to my door. Now that you're finally here, we can watch Class of 1999.
That shipping container. They sent me another dead one.
Still didn't stop him from getting rid of her for a couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Got to get your money's worth.
You got to.
Did you get your money's worth from your viewing of Class of 1999? Let's get your final thoughts.
I did, indeed. Oh, why?
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
Because I watched this on Tubi TV for free.
Oh, man, Tubi is a great option.
Yeah. You sit
it's
through
one of those weird things that people don't know exists, but it does.
You sit through a couple commercials.
No problem.
I think it was like 3 commercials.
No big
3 30
deal.
Second commercials.
Big whoop.
For an hour and a half movie with all the swearing.
Great quality on TV.
Robot titties, everything.
And robo also, titties.
All they had was standard definition, and it was still fine.
That's all you need. Gritty VHS.
It held up just fine.
That's how this is looking good.
This movie, I wish it would have played harder into that third act where it just goes crazy, like survival horror, Terminator, us against them, robots shit.
You always use more of that.
If they would have been like, man, like you could have made this a cool like action horror thriller if you would have just laid into that the entire movie and just done over the top kills the whole way through. But the action you do get is good. And last week we talked about how things were bad, but it was still really entertaining. Things are really bad in this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Really, really, really bad. But, man, if you don't like old boy from the Pussy Posse that's playing everybody's favorite little brother and everything out of the 80s and 90s, like he should have been in a million
shirts with a belt on them as an outfit.
He should have been in a million more movies.
Like a weird lesbo.
That kid was awesome at swearing too.
Oh, he loved to
like,
swear.
Oh, he was great. Cody's just the worst thing ever. But like, like you said, it would have been this movie would be like legendary shit if you had like somebody legit in that role as like a starting actor.
Give me a Corey Feldman. That's all I'm asking.
But either way, like, it just works with that douchebag kid in it anyways. But this movie is very entertaining, but just really, really bad for a lot of reasons. And so I got to go a little low. I got to go 2 on this, but still thoroughly entertained.
2 stars for Class of 1999. Oh. All right, I'll accept that. I'll accept it. This movie, like I said, was a favorite when I was a kid. Saw it opening weekend, loved it, watched a lot. Hadn't seen it since I was a kid at this point, and was like, is this going to hold up? I remember it being a B movie. I remember being pretty cheesy. Is my stupid little kid brain, you know, playing tricks on me? Is this movie going to be awful? And no, it holds up. It's fucking awesome. This
the coolest.
Big name actors giving crazy over the top performances. Stacy Keach being a total weirdo. Old man history teacher, my new favorite actor. I'm going to find out what he did.
Yeah,
huge explosions, fucking decent fucking special effects, like really decent special effects for a fucking B movie. It's so gloriously stupid. I love it. It makes no sense. It doesn't need to because it's weird. Only bad part is Cody sucks, but Pam Grier's robo titties make up for that. I want robot titties in every movie I see from this point forward. I'm going 3.5 bullets for Class of 1999. I think this is
going
a bad
way up
movie,
there.
A bad movie in the best way. Throw some more titties in there, I might have went 4.
You make compelling arguments. It's
pure entertainment. Yeah. There's no reason for this to be good because they're not trying for anything good. They're just trying to throw a bunch of weird shit up on the screen. I love it.
Yeah, I'll allow it. You're allowed.
Guilty pleasure? Nay, nay. I feel no guilt. I feel no shame.
No, I don't think it's guilt involved. I think it's either you're down with that kind of schlock or you're not.
I'm so down.
Yeah.
Maybe you, the listener, are going to get a little bit down here because we got a little bit of troubling news here.
Mm-hmm.
This next week for us, it's looking pretty hectic. I got to pick up some extra shifts at the old Cracker Factory.
Yep.
You got to get married.
I do.
So we're doing a bye week. We're going to have no podcast next week. That's the bad news. The good news is when we come back in 2 weeks, that puts us right in the first week of October. That's fucking Halloween season, man.
Halloween.
People don't know it, but we're a couple of whoreheads here.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we're going to do an action spooktacular the whole month of October. We're doing action horror movies, starting out fucking Joe Piscopo, Treat Williams, in a little zombie cop film called Dead Heat. Look out for it.
Dead Heat. First week
of October.
It's about time we get some Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo.
Spooky scary.
On this crazy, crazy podcast that we call Baby Oil and Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Could use a friend.